Good evening, welcome to the July 2023 meeting of the Faulkner County Quorum Court. Welcome, and today I believe Justice Tyler Mahosky will lead us in the opening prayer and pledge of allegiance.
Thank you, Judge. We get our prayer in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord, thank you for bringing us all together today to be participants in this fantastic community that we share with one another. Guide our thoughts, guide our actions, give us the courage to do your will on earth. Amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Be seated. Call the roll, please.
Yes, Your Honor. Allison.
Here.
Holtz.
Present.
Grady.
Here.
Kendricks.
Here.
Knight.
Here.
Lahosky.
Here.
Lyon.
Here.
Moss.
Here.
Pearson. Shock. Strain.
Here.
Tyler.
Present.
Shock will be here. He'll just be late. Yes, Your Honor.
Thank you, Madam Secretariat.
No, it's 10. 10.
Justice Boyer.
All right, moving along on our agenda. Actually, first off, I would like to draw your attention to newly appointed Justice of the Peace, Eden Roberts. Thank you. If you would stand, please. On behalf of everyone here, I'd like to express our thanks to you for you and your family for answering the call of public service. I've already apologized to her today for the workload and the steep learning curve she's going to have to endure, but I know that she'll do a great job, and we're fortunate to have you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Moving right along to our approval of the minutes. If you look in tab one, you've been presented with the minutes of the journal proceedings. It's your pleasure.
Motion to approve the journal.
Second.
Okay, a motion and a second. On last month's minutes, are there any additions or changes? Seeing none, all in favor of approving the minutes as presented, indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? So the minutes, the journal will be approved. Thank you. Tab 2, County Officers Report. Treasurer, got sense.
Oh, that's hot. I got hot twitch in there. Yep. All right.
Hey. Try that.
Let's try this time. If you'll turn with me to summary statements to Quorum Court. County General Fund $1,005,089,209.15. County Road Fund $2,004,706,070.96. County Road Sales Tax Fund, $3,355,708.25. Animal Welfare and Control Fund, $1,501,050.30. Criminal Justice Sales Tax Fund, $2,289,217.29. Coronavirus Relief Fund, $1,005,729,160.13. American Rescue Plan Fund 3046, $22,176,510.38. If you turn to page 2, this is our county general revenue chart, and as you see, we are continuing the trend we started last month, about $500,000 in county general over where we were this time last year. With me to page 3, sales tax for the month, $1,169,537.83. That's 12.12% above June of 2022, and we are currently running at 5.77% above year to date. Again, to page, the next page, and as you see, halfway through the year, we are 53% of our projected of $13 million, so we're ahead of schedule on that. And the last page is our three-month moving average versus our one-year moving average. We talked about this last month about how our three-month moving average had dipped down below our one-year. It was a cyclical or seasonal thing. And as you see, that the three-month has moved back up along with the one-year. Are there any questions about the financials?
Yes, with this plan.
Is there any explanation on this 12% increase over last year for June? Is it just numbers?
Not that I can see at this point. Okay, this is, as you can see, it's a little bit out of range for kind of what we've been doing this year. We had a 9% back in March and a 9% in April, but we're just going to keep watching the trend. You know, we've talked about in the past that this 12% to 10% is way too high to continuously have. Now, we know that some of this is inflation. We think that some of it is the building that we're doing, both of the West Rock the companies are doing this for like a rebate at some point. But there's no clear explanation on it.
Thank you.
Any other questions for our treasurer? The treasurer's report. Thank you for that, and we appreciate your continued guidance.
Thank you, Judge.
On understanding what the trends are with revenue and helping us to not read too much into a monthly change. It's important that we understand what revenue is doing, because that's a clear indicator of the economy. We have to budget with the revenue that we're projected to have next year. Quickly approaching the budget season, right? Any other county officers' reports? Sheriff Riles. Thank you.
Judge, thank you. Court, thank you, guys. I usually give our last month status report of our entire facility, but as you know, on June the 25th, we had this storm that came through, and I think it affected most of the county. But we're still suffering underneath it with our JMS and RMS systems. ISOMS has been down, and we are diligently looking and trying to get some data. We are hoping we haven't lost a whole year's of data. And so we actually have the system down at Little Rock, and they're trying to pull from it. We're working on that diligently. I can tell you, though, however, that our jail numbers as of today, I reached out just to find out exactly what the numbers are today. Today in Unit 1 facility, we have 199 inmates. About 77 of them are Arkansas Department of Correction. There's several that's on 90-day sanctions through probation and parole. So we are talking to them, and I actually made a phone call down to ADC today, and also had the association, our Sheriff's Association, to reach out to ADC to give us to come and get some of their ADC inmates. Now, I don't know how many, but I said he needs to take a lot of them. And so that's kind of where we're at. But this is the most I've ever seen in 7 years at 199. Because our capacity is 118, and we got 199. So that is not good. It's not good for our county. It's not good for anybody. It's not good for our detention officers that we're short on. And that list goes on and on. But that's all I've got for my report as of now, Judge.
Thank you, Sheriff. We appreciate you and your entire department more than we say, more than we can say. Any other officers' reports? Moving right along, next item on our agenda is standing committee reports, and we've got several. Let's start with Justice Coates and the Courts and Public Safety Committee.
Thank you, Judge. We did meet on July 11th of this month. All committee members were present, with the exception of the vacant seat. The committee discussed the data center ordinance, which is 2320. The ordinance passed the committee and will go before the full court tonight. We also discussed and passed onto the full court the Volunteer Fire Department ARP appropriation, Ordinance 2321. This relates to the app and the radio systems for our volunteer fire departments. Ordinance 2322 was also discussed and will be heard before the court tonight. That ordinance is an appropriation ARP request for traumatic event counseling co-pays for our public safety employees.
Thank you, Justice Coates. The Budget Committee. Justice Lahusky.
Judge, I was absent from my budget committee meeting. Justice Moss thankfully stepped up and chaired the committee in my absence. I'll just say ditto Justice Coates on these appropriation ordinances that came through budget and finance. And Justice Moss, am I missing anything that y'all discussed?
No, sir.
All right. Thank you, Judge.
Thank you, Justice Lahusky. How about the personnel committee, Justice Kendrick?
Judge, we have one ordinance to present tonight to the court. It's for a veteran service officer position.
Thank you, Justice Kendrick. Justice Knight, Infrastructure Committee.
Thank you, Your Honor. We have Resolution 2306, which is a grant from federal matching funds for an engineering project to look at a connector road from Highway 25 to Highway 65. They're Greenbrier Boosters.
Thank you, Justice Knight. Next on our item is where we come on our agenda to public comments. And so seeing a full audience, I'll open that up to the audience. I would remind you that any discussion or comments are limited to the published items on the agenda, keeping with the open meeting law. So any comments on any item before the court tonight? Seeing none, I do thank you for your attendance, by the way, even if no comments. Moving on to special reports, any special reports tonight? RP Administrator Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. To hit the highlights on the ARP, if you will turn to page 3.
Which tab is that?
Should be in tab 2.
2.
The Conway Corp Lower Ridge Water Project is underway. We just received our first bill on that, but it hasn't made it through the purchase order system yet, so that's why it's not reported tonight. It'll show up next month. The Damascus Water Line Extension, we haven't got a bill on that yet, but I toured it today, and they've got pretty much all the pipe laid. They're going to try to fill the main line next week with water, take samples, send it to the health department, and hopefully the week after that, they'll let people start hooking up. Bologna 107 at Schultz, they've got nearly all the pipe buried there. Most of what they have left to do, I think they have 3 bores they have to do to complete the job, but that's going well. We had our pre-construction meeting on page 5 for the Mount Vernon Emergency Pump Station last week. They are waiting on parts and submittals before they start work on that. Probably sometime later this fall they'll start work on that one. And on the last page of the report, page 7, we've had almost $500,000 turned in for bills since the last meeting. Are there any questions on the ARP report? If you'll turn to the road report following that, as I told you last month, it's usually a little bit slow because Rogers Group has several state projects they try to get through this summer. So we've only had one road, a half a mile, Valley H Lane overlaid since the last report. However, Clinton Road and Rooster Road, which is a state project that Rogers Group was awarded, those two projects have been complete. Those were overlays. The bridge report, the Saltillo Road bridge south of 8 Mile Store is underway. They expect to be done in the middle of next month. However, if they're not, they built a bypass, so they're in the middle of building a bypass, so that when school starts back, there won't be an issue with traffic. We have a bridge that our bridge crew at the road department is building. They're replacing Old Springfield Road just east of Briar Branch. That should be complete at the end of this month. I went by today, and it's getting pretty close. The intersections, there's really no new updates on the intersection project, Highway 286 and Skuck Hollow. Nor is there any new updates on the Worcester roundabout. Mr. Chair, that concludes my report, subject to any questions.
Any questions for Mr. Anderson? Thank you for that report, and I would just say, just kind of circling back to some of the asphalt work that was done, State Aid Roads, as many of you know, is money that comes to the county but is administered as a project through RDOT, our State Highway Administration. And really proud of Clinton Road. Just drive by and look at it. Rooster Road's the same way. Those are major north-south traffic corridors and really benefit our county. Lots and lots of traffic on those, and I mean, they're almost state highways if you look at them. They're great. So we're really thankful for that. We have begun our chip program again, and so you'll see some chip seal roads in the next month's report. Any other questions on roads or ARP? Moving right along, old business. Any old business come before the court today? Next item, new business. And we've got quite a few. We're going to reorder this just a little bit out of respect for Chief Hillman. I know he's in the room, Fire Chief at Bologna. And I think he's got to get to Bologna for a city council meeting. So, as I understand it, we're going to skip ahead to tab number 7, if you would. Proposed ordinance 23-21 is an appropriation ordinance, and it is regarding the volunteer fire department. So, Justice Coates.
Actually, Judge, that was sponsored by Justice Lahowski.
Judge, I make a motion to for approval of ordinance 23-21.
Second. That again is tab number 7. Okay, we got a motion and a second. Counselor?
Proposed ordinance 23-21, sponsored by Justice Tyler Lahoski, being acted by the Point Court County of Fulton, State of Arkansas, an ordinance being titled an appropriation ordinance to amend and supplement Fulton County Ordinance 22-63, dated December 23rd, 2022, and to declare emergency.
All right, we've got a motion, second, and a reading. Is there any discussion?
Judge, I'll start off with an explanation, if that's all right.
Yes.
All right, thanks, sir. Justices, we are asking for $550,000 for our volunteer fire departments for communication system. This has been a long work in progress. From the minute that this kind of ARP money came in, we knew the fire departments in this county have a lot of needs. And the unique thing is we have 20 or so fire departments in this county, and not all their needs are the same. So when you look at the needs of the fire departments, I worked with the Faulkner County Fire Chiefs Association on this, and we started having discussions at the very beginning, trying to figure out a good solution, something that we could do with this money that would benefit all of our fire departments. And that's difficult because, like I said, you have tiny fire departments and then you have our bigger ones, but they all need something different. So the first plan we came up with only needed $10 or $11 million to implement. Aren't you glad we didn't go with that one? It would have been something great for our fire departments to basically bring our communication system on par with the city of Conway. But that was a heavy lift. So we went back to the drawing board and came back with a second draft, which was about $3.3 million for SCBAs, which are the air packs and the oxygen that the fire departments breathe when they go into fight a fire in the house. A system that would match all the fire departments and they'd all be able to link up and work with each other and everything else. After looking at ARP rules and allowable expenses and all that kind of jazz, we determined that that was a little more risky with the rules of how it's all that structured. So finally, we came on this draft, and I know that our county administrator, Randy Higgins, has worked very closely with our OEM office and with the representatives from the Fire Chiefs Association to really work out something here that is going to benefit our fire departments. It may not benefit all of them equally. Our OEM office has spent, and our fire departments have spent many years, I would say, getting to a point where, and they can correct me if I'm wrong, we call it digital capable, because right now we're running on a VHF system, and I believe we're running analog. So this allows us to flip the switch to go digital. It allows a lot of the fire departments to then purchase digital radios to ensure all of our equipment is upgraded to go digital, which will help our fire departments substantially in communications with one another in these situations that they have to run on, life or death situations that they're in. So that's the basics behind this, and I'm going to turn it over to our county administrator to fill in any gaps. Did I hit all the high points there?
Administrator Higgins?
I think Justice Lahowski, you did a great job. I'll just entertain questions if there are any. I think you covered key points.
Thank you.
Any questions?
Administrator Higgins. Oh. I remember an explanation with an app. Was it there going to be an app to coordinate all this? Is that still the game plan?
Yes, there's still the I Am Responding app that is part of this spreadsheet that I passed out the other night, and I have copies if anybody needs it tonight. but there is a five-year subscription that is included in this request. That is about $49,000 of this request. That will really enhance the dispatch ability and capability for these departments and the information that they receive when they're being dispatched. Several of the departments are already using them and give it very high marks.
And I'm assuming that there's some support that comes with this app?
Oh, yes, significantly.
Perfect.
Good question. Any other questions, Justice Lyon?
I'm assuming this new communication will play in well with the Peace app and dispatch and everything.
Yes, we coordinated with them before we made the final decision on it.
Okay.
Actually, they had a couple suggestions that we took in consideration that we did not think of. So yes, we did. Okay.
So, and this will coordinate with the consolidation that's coming down.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yes.
Perfect. Thank you,
Judge.
Yes. This is for Administrator Higgins or maybe Chief Hillman, but if it's not for this money, if we don't pass this tonight, would it be possible for all these departments to upgrade these equipment on their own?
Chief Hillman, I'll defer to you.
I can't speak for everybody, but I know that a lot of these smaller departments, they can barely afford to pay electricity bill and their fuel bill. So I would say no.
Thank you.
Good question. Thank you for pointing that out. I mean, I think what Justice Kendrick was getting to is they are severely underfunded. And we've got 664 square miles, and they cover a good bit of it. So, any other questions?
Judge, I'd like to mention, too, that I mean, we listed a bunch of needs that the fire departments have. Putting this money to cover this need frees up any money they do come across to fund those other needs as well.
Thank you. Further questions? Thank you, Administrator Higgins. Seeing no further questions or discussions, I'll call for a vote on that. It'll be a roll call vote.
21, correct? Allison.
Yes.
Coates.
Yes.
Grady.
Yes.
Kendricks.
Yes.
Knight.
Yes.
Lahosky.
Yes.
Lyon.
Yes.
Moss.
Yes.
Pearson.
Yes.
Schock.
Yes.
Strain.
Yes.
Tyler.
Yes.
12 votes for. The ordinance passes. Congratulations, Chief Hillman, and all of the firefighters represented here today. Thank you. It seems anticlimactic, but I assure you there's a lot of work that went into that. I see Chief Hillman. Chief, before I know you have to leave, if there's anything you'd like to say, go right ahead. But I'm just going to say I speak for everyone when I tell you thank you for what you do. I know that we have other firefighters and families of firefighters in the room today, and I want to thank you for what you do. You're severely underfunded. It's purely a call to service, and we should recognize you for that. This is a small token of what we can do as your county government, for you to direct these ARP funds to these critical services that you provide.
We greatly appreciate everything that y'all do for us. Thank you.
Thank you, Chief. Again, that seems anticlimactic, but I'm going to move to the next agenda item. It'll be tab number 3, I believe, right? Proposed Appropriation Ordinance 23-17, tab number 3. This is going to be a budget and finance ordinance. And Committee Chairman Lahosky.
Judge, I make a motion for passage of Ordinance 23-17.
Second that.
All right, motion second. Counselor.
Proposed Ordinance 23-17, sponsored by Budget and Finance, be enacted by the Coroner Court, County of Faulkner, State of Arkansas, an ordinance to be entitled an appropriation ordinance to amend and supplement Faulkner County Ordinance 22-63, dated December 20th. 2022, and to declare an emergency.
All right, we've had a motion, second in the reading. Is there any discussion?
Judge?
Justice Lahosky.
Can you or maybe someone from your office speak to just Section 11, the $1.2 million into asphalt?
Yes, Road Administrator Anderson, if you would.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. In budgeting season, we estimate our carryover every year, and we usually estimate more, that we'll spend more than what we actually do. So when it comes time to ask for the appropriation, we ask for as much as we can based on our estimated carryover. As it turns out, usually every year, we carry over a lot more than we anticipated. And so this money we're asking for now will be for overlays and chip seal, and it'll help us, we think, finish out the year on those projects.
Mr. Anderson, out of the amount currently, I don't have this in front of me, and you may not either, but out of the amount currently appropriated in this line item, do you have an estimate of how much we've spent? Like if there's currently $1 million in this asphalt line item?
I want to say we spent, I hate to hazard a guess, it's been a couple of weeks since I looked at that.
Okay, that's fine.
Maybe $1 million right at it.
Okay.
Thank you. One thing that I would add there is that money goes in a hurry, you know, with $100,000 a mile. It is a lot of money, but roads are incredibly expensive. And when Rogers Group comes off the RDOT jobs and they go to work doing our summer work, the money is going to go in a hurry. So.
Administrator Anderson, you mentioned there might be a carryover. If there is, where does that money go to?
In the road, there's two funds that the road uses for its expenditures. One's the county road fund, and the other's the county road sales tax. So only the road, you can only use that money for projects related to roads. So it just stays in those funds if we carry them.
Thank you.
Any further questions?
Yes.
This is Lang.
Yeah.
This question is probably for Ms. Darger. Section 3. Curious, it's just typical elections, extra postage.
The extra postage is for our odd year mailing, and I had to mail out 26,000 pieces of mail and use two different vendors to get that processed out. And this will just finish up the cost of all that.
And then machinery.
You need the full amount of all this?
The machinery and equipment, that just.
That's just going in there really to reserve the money. We have no anticipation of spending any of that $26,000. It's just to hold it
just
before elections for next year. Out of this $99,000, we do anticipate spending about $20,000 to $25,000 in preparation for the election next year, or the two elections next year.
Thank you.
Good questions. Any further questions?
Judge, I've got one more question, possibly for Treasurer Sanson. Can you speak to Section 4?
I forgot that thing for that.
This is, I've got a chief deputy that is retiring, resigning, however you want to say it. This is the payout. So you and I have talked about this time, but, and I don't think you want to go all the way. I can explain it to everybody, but
yeah,
it's the payout, and in order to keep that line item and pay a new employee, you have to...
Yep.
You have to add that. This is a one-time thing. It'll go back. The line item will go back to like it was originally next year.
Perfect. Thank you. Thank you for the reminder. Yes.
Any further questions?
Yes. I don't know who could answer this. Section 1, $8,200 in overtime. Is there anyone who can speak to that we have here?
Which section?
Section 1, the first. If I'm reading that right, $8,200 is that overtime?
This is a grant money that's coming in for juvenile courts, and they have several officers that they pay their overtime out of this grant fund, and they don't pay them out of the regular juvenile court fund.
Gotcha.
And I'm hoping I'm answering that right for her, but is grant money for them.
Thank you.
Good questions. Any further questions? Seeing none, Madam Secretary.
Yes, Your Honor. Allison.
Yes.
Coates.
Yes.
Grady.
Yes.
Kendricks.
Yes.
Knight.
Yes.
Lahosky.
Yes.
Lyon.
Yes.
Moss.
Yes.
Pearson.
Yes.
Schott.
Yes.
Strain.
Yes.
Tyler.
Yes.
Okay, the ordinance passes. Moving along to tab number 4, proposed ordinance 23-18. Again, this is tab number 4. And this is another Budget and Finance Committee ordinance. Justice Lahosky.
Judge, I make a motion for passage of proposed ordinance 23-18.
Second. So motion and second, Counselor.
Proposed ordinance 23-18, sponsored by Budget and Finance, be enacted by the Form Court, County of Faulkner, State of Arkansas, an ordinance to be entitled an appropriation ordinance to amend and supplement Faulkner County Ordinance 22-63, dated December 20th, 2022, and to declare an emergency.
Okay, so we've got a motion, second, and a reading. Is there any discussion?
I'll raise my hand, Judge.
Justice Hosky.
Thank you. Justices, I'm sorry for bogarting the airwaves here. I passed y'all out a little handout here. Y'all have someone from the sheriff's office that wants to speak? I just went back because this caught my attention, so I just went back and I pulled some numbers out of our financial system because I was just curious. So you can see a little table for OT expense on the left, and I also thought, well, it's just not overtime expense because within the past year or two, we've increased some of the salaries in our sheriff's office substantially. So, of course, overtime's going to go up because salaries went up. So I've got another little table over here that says percentage of overtime expense kind of as it relates to salaries, what that percentage looks like. And when I plotted it on this nifty chart here, what caught my attention, and I guess I can explain some of it. So the 3407s, those are out of criminal justice sales tax, and then the 1000s are out of county general. 1000.041A is county jail, and what else do we have here? 1000 or 3407.0436 is deputies and dispatchers, and there's another, anyways, you can see the font there. What caught me off guard was the sharp increase that we've seen since 2020 in that jail, in those really those two jail funds that we have there. So do y'all know why we've seen, I would expect the percentages to kind of remain the same over time, but we see a, and I'll say the 2023 column, I think I'll give y'all sheet. The 2023 column is, that's just taking the money you're asking for and adding it to the money currently appropriated today, which I know isn't the amount of money that will be end up being spent, but we're just projecting there. So can y'all speak to what you think may be the issue of why we see such a sharp rise in overtime expenses?
I'm going to pass out updated information. I passed this out last week. We did run a payroll yesterday that will be paid Thursday. I inputted those figures and updated the costs and for the averages. So that way, and it did adjust some things, but I still feel like it was appropriate with our request to transfer being appropriate. Did somebody get two?
So I understand the sticker shock of the money that we're asking for, and I'd like to take just a brief moment and explain a little bit from our side of it. As we've shown you over the past, at least this year and some of last year, we're running consistently 10 to 14 officers short. Okay. On top of those 10 to 14 officers short, you have to figure in sickness, you have to figure in holiday, vacation, FMLA for various reasons, on-the-job injuries that takes them away from work. That adds to those 10 to 14 that we don't have. Hospital stays. If we have a detainee that has to go to a hospital, if they are not ordered by the courts to be released, that's 24/7 security that we have to pull on these detainees while we're already short. So there's overtime. I'd like to take you back just for a second to our 2022 criminal facility audit review. In 2022, in our juvenile, it said we could need additional positions at our, if we continued our current operation. In our Unit 1 facility for 2017, 2018, 2019, 2022, all stated that we were a deficit of 8 to 11 officers.
in 2017, 2018, 2019, 2022. It said we were a deficit of 8 to 11 officers at Unit 2. So we're already 8 to 11 officers short of what the state says we should have in our detention facilities. And on top of that, we're 10 to 14 positions that we cannot fill or retain. Okay. On top of that, we have to train our officers. Okay. We don't want to end up in a 1983 lawsuit. And for those, I know Justice Shock is quite familiar. In 1989, the United States Supreme Court ruled in City of Canton versus Harris that local governments can be liable under Section 1983 for damages for deliberately indifferent failure to train or supervise. Okay. On a personal note, we have, on the personal side of it, outside of this lawsuit, we have to train our guys. We can't send these young men, women, older men, women into facilities with no training, especially a maximum security facility that we're at a capacity of 199 inmates. Okay. Arkansas Criminal Detention Facility standards say we have to train them in jail standards within 9 months. And they have to have continuing education, 16 hours of continued ed. Well, 9 months sounds pretty doable. Well, as you've seen on our monthly reports, 76 officers. If you kind of keep up, you see how many positions we have, how many were vacant. Okay. In 2022, we hired 91 new officers. To date, only 30 of them are still with us. In 2023, so far this year, we've hired 45 new officers. And only 29 of those are still with us. We've held 5 56-hour training courses, and we have trained 38 officers. In training those 38 officers, we're only at an estimated 50% trained for our detention facility for the duties that they carry out. You take out them 38 officers at the first year, our percentage of trained due to retention is not very high. Okay. In order for these men and women to receive the training they need, it's overtime. We're in a shortage of manpower, so we have to call somebody in to work their shifts while they're being trained, and they've probably already worked their shift. Or the person that we are training has to go through that 56 hours, and then they have to work their shift as well. So it's overtime. And there's many other instances. Our DIRT team, our detention emergency response team, if there's a riot in the jail, Justice Shock knows they like to riot. If they're not happy with what they got for supper, they decide they're going to riot. But we, based on our setup, we have an emergency response team that takes care of that. That's all overtime. Okay, the jail is not, detention facilities are not like other areas of our department. They might be able to even out, come in late, take off early because we don't have the manpower. And the numbers are finally catching up to us of what we're really faced with. We're not handing out overtime like candy. I promise you. We're just trying to keep the chains off the doors of the facility so we can carry out the duty that we're sworn for Faulkner County. I know that's a brief overview of the what we're facing and why the numbers are so high for our overtime.
So you mentioned a lot of issues there. What's the substantial difference, you think, between 2020 and 2023?
I think a lot of it. So if you take 38 officers, I'm sorry, I graduated from Mount Vernon Hills, so forgive my math. You take 38 officers, and you times that by their hourly rate, times 56 hours. Well, just to train those 38 hours potentially costed us $36,000 in overtime just for that training.
So you didn't have that issue, though, in 2020?
I don't think, to be honest with you, I think we had as many trainings because we couldn't. We still had the shortages. But as you see, you know, the detention facility is known, they file frivolous lawsuits all the time. As you see those coming in, you realize, and when we have employees quit, and I'm gonna put it out, if we have employees quit, because they don't feel like they're equipped to do this job, you have to up your training. No matter what it's going to cost you, you have to give them that training. So I think that is part of our uptick for this year, because we have held so much more training.
Is there anything you see in the future that is going to bring this back down to a, I'm going to call it a normal level?
You know, we, with y'all, you know, we thank y'all more than you know. We've worked on our pay. We're consistently working with our recruitment and retainment team. We work on our atmosphere. We work on our management skills. We constantly work on that because, you know, not everybody makes the best of money, but if you're happy where you're at, you're more apt to stay. So we work on that consistently, but it's a rough job. It's a tough job, especially for those that maybe did not have, depending on their outside world, what they've been through, and then they come in the four walls of the detention center and get spit on, get feces thrown at them. I could go through here, and I've got people that have seen just days, a couple months, a week or two. I mean, we got the pay up pretty consistent. They are full-time benefits. I think a lot of it is society. We can't change society and how people think about this job. So that is a struggle.
That number you provided for 2022 stats, where you hired 95 and have retained, I don't remember what that number was, 30 or 20 or
hired
something.
91 new officers in 22, and 30 of those are still with us.
30 of those are still with us. So we've kept 30% of the people we've hired in 2022. Like, that's an amazing statistic, you know, in the wrong direction, I guess.
Sure.
You know, I don't want to dig into personnel issues. You know, I leave that for the personnel committee. I want to speak to it from a budget standpoint. Justices will allow me a little more airtime. I have a question about section two here. So basically, what you're saying is the reason that our overtime is so much is because we are not able to retain officers. We're not able to, and we have a bunch of vacant positions. Being on the quorum court, our baby, put in quotations, is always the county general fund. You know, we nestle it, we pet it, and we make sure it's all nice, fat, happy. That's our job. But when I looked at your statement of operations for your full-time line item in your budget, you're about 49% spent. And we should be a little higher than that at this point in time in our budget cycle, because we're past our midpoint. Now, it makes sense that we're underspent in our full-time line item because you've had 10 vacant positions or so. Is there anything wrong with this $37,000 coming from your full-time line item and reappropriating it to overtime?
I'm defer to Ms.
So, as of today, when I reran the numbers after payroll ran, we're sitting at 53.48% used in full-time salaries in the county jail on county general side.
Do you have the amount that's left?
$672,160.56. And so, from my calculations, there's 11 payrolls left, and we should have spent approximately 57.7%. So we're about 4% under right now.
4%.
Someone,
it's around $50,000 or so.
I'm not going to do that math.
Okay.
I do want to caution, and I know that we talked about this as a whole, Margaret, Scott, in other quorum court meetings, but I know we have some new quorum court members since last year, but because that was brought up before when we needed new money. And when we transfer any money from full-time salaries, it kind of explain this the best way I can. Full-time salaries, it's one line item, but each within that one line item, there's each position. And so each position has their allotted amount for that salary. And just like Scott had to transfer money for a payout, any of these detention officers that work just 2 or 3 months, they accumulate holiday time, they accumulate vacation, and They don't get paid out for the sick, but their holiday and their vacation, up to 240 hours is paid out to them at the time that they leave. And so if they've banked a lot, then it could possibly, you know, change that number.
You can overpay
yes.
a position.
Yes, and so that sometimes does happen. And so if I ran, there is a report you can run in FI. It's called a position budget forecast report, and it will show you which positions have a positive or a negative or, you know, or even or whatever it may be. And so at this point, yes, there is an allotted amount of money not being utilized, but depending on payouts and things like that, it could possibly be needed. And also, once you transfer it, if we feel that position that is causing that extra amount of money, it's just going to turn it upside down again. So that's, I believe, I'm probably not explaining that the best, but I think that's why common practice is to not transfer it from full-time.
My thought process was we've had, say, 10 vacancies throughout the year from that line item in that department. From January to July, that amount that hasn't been spent really isn't going. We could appropriate all those. We could fill all those positions tomorrow and the money would be there. But there's still money left looking backwards from now until January that the money's still there.
Possibly.
All right.
Yes,
possibly.
It's
depending
just,
on the overpayments on
yeah,
other
payouts
stuff
and
like,
things
that,
like that.
The payouts and whatnot. Mm-hmm. That's my only concern is from the selfish perspective of protecting county general, as we do as the core report, is that if you have this money available in your budget, even though it sits in the full-time salaries line item that we're not fans of pulling out of, budget season is not too far around the corner for us to forget that we've done that, you know, before we get to budget season and start really messing things up for y'all.
I understand. And if I can add one thing.
Yeah.
Any money that's left over in that full-time salary line item, we can't utilize full-time salary money for anything else other than what y'all tell us to. It
yep.
is a,
yep.
you know, a sectioned there. Off line item. So unlike the other categories below personal services, we can spend within that category. Personal services, you cannot. And so I have to come to you for your discretion and decision-making power to do anything else with that money. So if that money, that $50,000 approximately, whatever it may be at the end of the year, is still there, it's still going to go back into the big pot of money, like what you were referencing with county roads. So that's the only thing. It's kind of, in my opinion, it's indifferent if you give it to us as a new appropriation or if you transfer it from one to another, because in my opinion, it is less messy if you just do a new appropriation. On my side and on Margaret's side, I believe, than messing with the full-time money. Just my honest opinion.
Thank you.
You're
welcome. Mrs. Darter, I'm not, my goal is not to make you speak ill of the sheriff's office or against the sheriff's office. Is this something doable? Is this a thing that we could do, is appropriate this money from their
Well, it's called a transfer when you take it from one line item to another line item. It's a transfer. It is doable. It will not affect positions because it's being paid out of that line item.
Okay.
But positions are not budgeted. They're budgeted from that line item. But if you pull money out of that line item, it doesn't change what's in the positions.
Yeah.
They would still be there. But at the end of the year, she could be short on meeting the budgeting, what's budgeted for those positions, and have to come back and say, hey, y'all transferred this money back in July, but I'm not going to have enough to meet payroll in November and December because I had these whatever could happen in the meantime. So it doesn't matter to me whether it's a new appropriation or a transfer. And if you're going to have to come back, you just need to know she's probably going to be back and have to ask for it before the end of the year.
Based off the reports I've seen and stuff, like we said, I believe there's an extra like $50,000 or so sitting there that's not going to be spent unless it's on these overtime payouts and stuff like that. I'm just going to see where this goes. I'm going to make a motion to amend Section 2 to take that $37,000 instead of out of county general fund to take it out of their full-time salaries line item.
Second.
Who was the second? Pearson? Yeah.
Judge, could I have a floor?
I'm sorry, I didn't see the hand.
Right.
Oh, yes, Justice Allison.
Yes, I question the Sheriff's Department. 2020, COVID year, is when I started watching the court. I took office in 21. But the numbers in the jail were nowhere near 199. As a matter of fact, I think the numbers, correct me if I'm wrong, were dramatically lower in 2020 for whatever reason, whether the courts were trying to keep them out of the jails, whether we were dealing with overcrowding issues because we didn't want to deal with COVID. For whatever reason, they were dramatically lower, if I'm not mistaken, 2020. So I'm thinking, could that possibly be a reason for the lower overtime percentages? 2021, there were still lower numbers because the numbers did not work their way back up for quite, well, until now. I've never seen 199 average in a jail. Never seen that, so.
I can tell you that the numbers in that time frame during COVID actually got down to about 119. We was just barely over the max. We was just a few inmates over the maximum limit. But since then, the following years, obviously it has built up, and especially these last couple of years, it has been, 160, 170, 160, 150, 160. And I think that's reflected in our stats report that we put out. But obviously here we are today, so very well to be a big impact.
Thanks, Sheriff. And I don't want to, I'm not disparaging anyone here, but I want to thank y'all for the job that you do. And to Chief Woolley's remarks a minute ago, it is a tough job. And we see on the news every day that I think this is not just y'all's department, but this is departments all over the country that are dealing with this difficulty in maintaining officers, staffing, and everything else. I just want y'all to know, I think Justice Lahosky agrees, we all appreciate what you do. And I know he's just dealing with the money thing right here, but I want to let you know, this court appreciates what you do, and I think I don't want to pin it on management for why you need this money right now, because with the jail at about 180, 109% of capacity, I think that I think some overtime is rated here. I just want to make that statement, make it clear.
And if I may, Justice Lahosky,
yes, sir.
May I answer one question that you asked?
Yes, sir.
In addition to these answers, total retention, and I'm always going to promote this because I've been doing it for 7 years, and I'm going to continue doing it. A new jail, that would be a huge factor in the retention rate, because we would be able to narrow down and isolate our inmates in such a better capacity than what these young men and young women, we're talking about 18, 19, and 20-year-olds in this jail, that come in, they want a job, we get them trained, we do those things, and they walk into this maximum security unit, and they're dealing with 20 or 30 inmates any given time, sitting behind these doors when they open them, to feed them, to do all. And it's a scary process. It's scary for me up there, So I think a new jail, not only would it benefit what it is that we're trying to accomplish with our inmates and the reduction of lawsuits, but retention rate for inmates, for our officers would be a huge asset.
Well, we'd love to build you a new jail. We bring us a plan so we can build you one.
I'd like to encourage everybody there on the court, if you haven't, please get with the Sheriff's Department. Take a tour of Unit 2, because that was one of the first things that I did when I got on the court, and it needs upgrading. These guys, if there's 199 people in there, that's a tough, tough job.
Unit
1, sorry.
Your Honor, if I may.
Just curious. Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, I'd just like to speak in favor of the motion. Not against appropriating the funds for the overtime expenditures at all. I think it makes sense, and it's well deserved. For me, it's just an accounting. It's a matter of how we're doing our budgeting and where we pull the money from. And I think it makes a little bit more sense to reappropriate or transfer already appropriated funds so that we can have a more real time picture of what we have available in that county general fund moving forward, for any type of expenses that come up. So that's my second on the motion. That's why I support it. Might be a little messier or trickier for us on the back end, but like Justice Lahosky said, it just helps us keep a clear picture of what we have available in County General moving forward, so we don't have to appropriate any new monies if we don't need to. Thank you.
Justice Strain?
Yes, sir. I was for the sheriff, I guess, or any of you guys. I was kind of curious about how would you rate the current condition of your fleet, and how have the expenses changed within the last couple of years? Has the inflation taken a toll on that?
I just make a quick point of order to keep the discussion on the motion at hand if we can. I'm not opposed to having that conversation, but just like to try to keep to the motion.
Yeah, point sustained. Any further questions?
Judge, if I may?
Yes, Justice Kendrick.
Okay. I'm going to speak in favor of this as well, too. I think it makes sense, like Justice Pearson said. The money's already appropriated. It's not going to be used. Let's use that up before we pull money out of County General, because that is what we... For lack of a better term, we try to hold that until the very last if we can. So I think that makes sense. Sheriff, Chief, you know we appreciate you guys. We've worked on getting y'all raises. As far as the jail, I've been on here a couple terms. Get us a plan. Get us some numbers. We've got some money set back. Bring us something that we can look at. The sooner we get it, the sooner we can act. And as well on this, it sounds like we've consistently, since 2017 at least, I think that's what you mentioned, Chief, you know, we've been short 10 deputies or so, and I would expect that number to increase some as we raise those salaries and what we've done that. But it sounds like we've consistently been short. That hasn't changed. But what we have seen are some drastic spikes in overtime, and it sounds like a lot of that could be due to training. Something to think about. I don't know if there's a better way to put visibility on this. Maybe we create an overtime training line item. I don't know. Maybe there's a more creative and more transparent way that we can show some of those increases to see what's really driving that. Maybe we need to dig into this next month in personnel committee to look at your staffing, compare that to overtime, how we're driving it. I've been thinking about doing a personnel report for all the county departments, and I haven't said that publicly, but just something to see our staffing levels, to get some transparency and to increase that. And just based on this discussion tonight, I very well might bring that as well as some sheriff's office discussion to personnel next month, but I'm going to speak in favor of this motion as well. Thank you.
Justice Todd.
I just have one question regarding the budget. I noticed that department number 0421 also had some spike in overtime expense, and I'm guessing, I'm just asking this obvious question, it's for the same reasons you had mentioned, Chief, about previous reasons why there was overtime. Just making my clarification. Absolutely.
The 0418 out of County General, that has 36 detention officers in it, and then the 0421 out of Criminal Justice has 48. So
gotcha.
That's the difference. There's just more employees in one versus the other.
Appreciate that.
Sure. Any further discussion? Seeing none, Madam Secretary.
So this
would be the motion to amend. And for clarification, Justice Lahosky, on your motion, which has been seconded, the section number 2 would be changed where it says from County General Fund 1000 to full-time salary, and I don't have the fund number.
Well, it'll be, instead of appropriate, it will be transfer within County General Fund 1000, Department 0418, County Jail, Expenditure Code 1001, salaries full time 2, Expenditure Code 1005, overtime.
Great, thank you.
Can you have that recorded? You have that down?
Yes.
Okay. So this would be a vote on the amendment as just stated. Are we clear on that? All right. Secretary?
Allison?
No.
Coates?
No.
Grady?
I think it's for to do the amendment.
Yes.
Yes.
Kendricks?
Yes.
Knight?
Yes.
Lahosky?
Yes.
Lyon?
Yes.
Moss?
Yes.
Pearson?
Yes.
Shock?
No.
Strain?
Yes.
Tyler?
Yes.
So three no's.
Nine.
Yeah.
Counselor?
It
It passes.
Motion passes. The ordinance is amended, and so we've got a motion and a second on the now amended ordinance. Any further discussion? Seeing none, Madam Secretary.
Allison.
Yes.
Coates.
Yes.
Grady.
Yes.
Kendricks.
Yes.
Knight.
Yes.
Lahosky.
Yes.
Lyon.
Yes.
Moss.
Yes.
Pearson.
Yes.
Schock.
Yes.
Strain.
Yes.
Tyler.
Yes.
The ordinance passes as amended. Moving right along, tab number 5. And I believe, Justice Kendrick, this is your ordinance, and I want to say before I toss the floor to you, this is something very near and dear to my heart, and I know a lot of people, including many on my staff and my organization, have worked quite a bit on this. And so with that, I'll toss it to you, Justice Kendrick.
Thank you, Judge. Motion to put 2319 on the floor to discuss.
Second.
Who was
Counselor,
second?
If you'd read it by Justice Allison was the second. Counselor, would you read this by title only, please?
Proposed ordinance 23-19, sponsored by Justice Chris Kendrick, being enacted by the Foreign Court, Faulkner County, State of Arkansas, an ordinance to be entitled an ordinance to create a full-time position in Faulkner County Veterans Service Office and to declare an emergency.
Thank you, Counselor.
All right, motion second and reading.
Okay, I'm just going to give a little overview. When Judge Dodson in his office approached me about the creation of this position, it's something that I was really excited about. Currently, we've got a part-time contract veteran service officer. Mr. Alley's been doing it a long time, but I think this is something that we can look at creating a full-time position within that department that we can really enhance our offering to veterans here in Faulkner County. There was a lot of discussion about this in personnel committee, and the last number that we had, and it was from 2021, around the number of veterans here in Faulkner County, it was roughly around 7,241. So that's veterans that live in this county. And by creating a full-time position within this, and I really appreciate the judge's office and all the work that they have done on this. They also discussed a little bit about that. I think he kind of gave away a little bit of his plan, moving that office location, revamping it, and really digging in and focusing on what can we do to elevate our game here for the veterans in Faulkner County. And this is a part of that. Creating this position, it would give us a full-time position within that to help our veterans that live within the county, to help navigate all the challenges that exist within the DOD and the VA. And I know just from friends that I know that have dealt with it and family members, those challenges are significant. And when we're talking about services that veterans who've served our country, they've went out, they've done things that most people will not do. This would help them, it would assist them, it would help them get the benefits that they deserve and do. It'd help them navigate these systems, and I think it would be a tremendous benefit to our veterans here in the county, and I appreciate the personnel committee for considering it and all the discussion and passing this along to the full court, and I appreciate Judge Dodson and his office, and I'm excited about this, so thank you.
Thank you so much, Justice Kendrick. I appreciate every word that you just said. Okay, is there any other discussion on this matter? Justice Lyon.
If you don't mind me asking, I mean, I'm in full support of this. I think it's a great position to have.
Sure.
What's our current expenditures?
$13,000 a year.
$13,000, okay. Very good.
For a part-time, and this is not a referendum on our current veteran services officer. He will remain here. This would be in addition to, of course, Mr. Owls, we all know him by. He's served his country. He's former Marine, always a Marine, I guess. But we need to get him some help. With over 7,000 known veterans in this county, each of which have issues, each of which have to deal with a myriad, as Justice Kendrick just said, of federal bureaucracy. And in many cases, they're widows or their widowers after they're gone. So it starts with the facility that, to use politically correct language, it doesn't measure up to the standard of Faulkner County in 2023. and we're working as hard as we can to be more appropriate for the services that we offer our veterans. And that begins with the facility. Certainly, we need to get some more VSO expertise, VSO being Veteran Services Officer. We need more bandwidth there, and it needs to be bandwidth that's up on the current VA technology. It's always a moving game, and as a matter of fact, if we begin using the online portal, we'll actually get reimbursed more money for that. But it really all gets down to appreciation for those veterans who've served our country. And as I shared with the Personnel Committee, I would anticipate that as demand ramps up, once we increase our Veteran Services Officer bandwidth, if I could be impersonal about the way I say that, I would anticipate coming to you again to ask for even more bandwidth. If you look at a comparison, I know Justice Kendrick, probably in the interest of brevity, didn't go into all the detail he's privy to and asked for. My office had a bunch of great questions during a committee meeting and before the committee meeting. When you look at other similarly situated counties, we're not voting with enough resource here. And again, I'm not talking about our current VSO. He'll stay with us, but we have just got to do more for our veterans. And as was asked, we currently spend $13,000 a year in Faulkner County, Arkansas for a Veteran Services Officer office. And that just really, I suppose there's probably a little more. Let me restate that. There would be office supplies and a few small supplies that might add to that $13,000. We have to do more. We recognize with that. We recognize that, and this is the first step. I'm convinced we'll probably be coming back and offering you the opportunity to further fund the Veteran Services Officer. When you compare other counties to what we're doing, and even once we add this full-time position, I think we still have a little ways to go, maybe a long way. So anyway, that'll end my commentary. I want to thank you for your patience on that. Any further questions?
Judge, just real quick, if I may, just to piggyback on what you said, they were asking about salaries and some of the total expenditures. I didn't pass this out in committee. I just discussed it a little bit, but for the justices that weren't there and for the audience, Craighead and Saline, which are two comparable counties, that's typically where we shoot for on our salary ranges. Total salaries, they've got two positions. You know, they're both right around $89,000, $88,000. So we're spending $13,000. Sebastian, which has the largest amount of veterans, I think they were around $9,000. They're spending almost $150,000, and they've got four positions. So comparable to the larger classics counties where we typically try to stay, we are under that. Share that.
Thank you for highlighting that. Any further discussion?
Yeah, Judge, I'd like to say also, 2021, the years these numbers are from, Faulkner County, compared to Sebastian and Saline, which are the two closest counties I found, population-wise, the number of veterans. Faulkner County has the highest veteran suicide rate among those three counties also. Mm-hmm. And getting those services to veterans, increasing that capacity. If we could reduce the calculation, if we could come down to the level that Sebastian County is at, we could possibly save two or three lives a year.
Thank you so much. Thank you for that commentary and your commentary in the newspaper. That's greatly appreciated. Any further commentary?
Your Honor, I just have a couple of questions. Do you anticipate any other expenses for this department as it grows?
As it grows, I think Sebastian, just Kendrick mentioned Sebastian County, and I found it interesting that Sebastian County supplements their VSO resources, and I think they've got two full-time, if I need to be corrected, Mr. Peterson, I don't know if you recall, but I think they've got two full-time VSOs, and then they have front office staff. They have clerical staff to provide further support to the veterans and the VSO staff. So we certainly won't come back before this court lightly, but if the demand, if you believe anecdotal evidence, we think the number of veterans identified in this county will go up by virtue of having a greater VSO presence. And presenting that office to our public, you know, in a better way as a county, again, that's not a reflection of Mr. Out at all. I want to underscore that, but when we have our new open house. I would encourage everyone here, regardless of the issue you're here for, and everyone you know, to come to our open house and celebrate a recognition by this county that we need to do better for our veterans and provide for them. We appreciate their service. So, Justice Stream.
I guess I'm going to repeat a few things I said during the committee meetings. A lot of these veterans come back from their assignments, sometimes back from war, and then find themselves having to fight with the Veterans Administration to get the benefits that they were promised. I know a lot of veterans, older veterans especially, that have gone to the Veterans Administration to get their benefits that they were promised when they were discharged, and the Veterans Administration just tells them that we can't find your records. That's very, very common. That happened to me, and a lot of other people. I know some people that probably will pass away and never have found their records from the Veterans Administration. It's unfortunate that that's an adversarial relationship, but there seems to be a little bit of concern about the money for the veterans officer, and I would like to say that if the veterans officer is successful in helping these veterans get the pay that they have been, that they are due, that they have been promised from the government, that they are legally entitled to, that money will be spent back into our economy, and probably will, although it would be hard to calculate, I'm sure, but that will increase revenue in the county. And so I think the cost is negligible in comparison to the benefit that we'll get from it. So
thank you so much. That's those heartfelt comments. Appreciate your comments in the committee as well, and your service to our country.
Judge, just real quick, too, to kind of piggyback on Justice Strain said, and I promise I'll quit talking here in a second, but this money is coming out of County General, and I know I talked earlier about how we try to protect that and use that as little as possible, but we have the money in County General for this. I think this is a worthwhile investment. This is not going to put us in the red. We're still good. So I know the court's always concerned about that. The judge's office got the salary data together when I asked them, and it's not even required, but they did it and did a lot of work, and I think it's a good ordinance, and it sets a maximum salary for the position, so that means the judge can, under his discretion, can go up to that amount. So that's the way we've set this up.
Thank you, Justice. Any further commentary or questions? Madam Secretary?
Yes, Your Honor. Allison?
Yes.
Coates?
Yes.
Grady?
Yes.
Kendricks?
Yes.
Knight?
Yes.
Lahosky?
Yes.
Lyon?
Yes.
Moss?
Yes.
Pearson?
Yes.
Schock?
Yes.
Strain?
Yes.
Tyler?
Yes.
The ordinance passes, and again, I personally thank you on behalf of really all veterans out there, past, present, and future. I want to congratulate you. I know, as we've seen already tonight, a lot of tough issues. We'll have another one or two to come up tonight. I'm really proud of our county government. Those of you who don't often come here, you're seeing the county government, I believe, is first rate. And so I appreciate your sincerity. And again, thank you for that. Moving right along, tab number 6, proposed ordinance 23-20.
Judge, I'd like to make a motion to put this on the table, ordinance 23-20, for consideration before the court.
Second.
Okay, motion second. Counselor.
Proposed ordinance 23-20, sponsored by Justice Mary Coates, be enacted by the Coin Court, Faulkner County, Arkansas, an ordinance be entitled an emergency ordinance adopting certain rules and regulations concerning external noise attenuation of cryptocurrency data centers and to prevent noise disturbance within Faulkner County's unincorporated limits, to declare an emergency and for other purposes.
Thank you, Counselor. Any discussion? Any remaining discussion? This has been discussed ad nauseum, but yes, any discussion?
Judge, I guess I'll have a bit of discussion. No one else wants to raise their hand first. You're laughing at me. Okay. I don't know who to necessarily direct my question to. under Article 2 definitions, and number 2, cryptocurrency data center. What? Leased or owned boundaries of floor space in which the primary purpose is to operate data processing equipment for cryptocurrency mining.
Counselor?
I don't want to call anybody out, but I've got a relative that mines cryptocurrency in his closet. That fits this definition, from what I can tell.
No. Great question. Counselor?
Yeah.
While Counselor gets his microphone set, I would say, of course, this is in the definitions, and I think some other definitions might come into play.
Yeah, well, first of all, the issue that I would, the first issue is whether your cousin is mining for data in his home. That's not the primary purpose of his, of the home itself. It would be a residential unit, and that's not what this ordinance is intended to cover.
So even though his closet may be the primary purpose for crypto mining,
that space,
you know what I'm saying? I'm just trying to make sure there's no, we're not running anything crazy here, you know.
Judge, if I may,
yeah.
It's also a complaint-driven ordinance.
Okay.
And so if your cousin is not making excessive noise and no one files a complaint, then there really won't be ever be an issue.
Okay.
It's only a complaint-driven ordinance. So the neighboring properties and neighbors have to complain before there's...
So none of these noise attenuation requirements, like none of this is applicable until there's a complaint made?
Correct. Counsel.
The other issue, too, I think that we need to look at, Justice Lahosky, is all cryptocurrency is commercial.
Yeah.
So we can't simply designate a commercial versus residential or make a distinction because anybody that's mining, that's part of a commerce. That's part of what it is. So trying to find a definition that somehow slices that hair is pretty difficult.
Yeah, that's just my only thought and requirement is that reading through this, and I probably might have not hit on as much in-depth stuff, but there are requirements in here for sound studies to be done. You know, if I decide to turn my garage or a spare bedroom in my house and fill it with servers and start crypto mining, am I required to go get a sound study done, you know, before I do so, or do I get to wait until someone complains about it? You know, that's just my thoughts and issues so far.
And I would say to that individual who may want to convert their garage, that's a risk they would have to assess and decide whether or not they think that they are going to be subject to this penalty. And if they are going to be subject to the penalty, or if there's a possibility, that's their own risk analysis as far as whether they want to roll the dice or not. Because part of the penalty section includes the notice requirements. And so they can say, well, that's too much work. I'm just going to do this out of my garage and worry about the consequences later. Well, that's fine, but there are consequences.
I just want to make sure this does what we want it to do and doesn't have adverse effects in other aspects. Well, thank you. That doesn't necessarily mean anything.
And I would say, I don't know what Justice Coates' position on this is, but you know, if you think that there is a definition that could assist, then, you know, personally, I'm all ears and would love to be able to help in any way. But I think at the end of the day, we all have the same goal.
Yeah, I don't have any answers to the questions. thank you, Counselor.
Justice Coates?
Yes, I also want to make the point that this is a new issue that has come up. And so splitting the hairs, so to speak, is difficult. However, Faulkner County has been blessed with data centers in the past that have never been an issue. That is because they run respectful business practices. We have had some issues that have come up in Bono, Shady Grove, where that has not been the case. So what has gone on for a long time, it's shifting. And at this point, there's a call to action. This is these people's lives that have literally changed overnight with the flip of a switch. I mean, they're miserable.
Justice Allison.
Just Lahosky's point. So what would happen, Councilor Murphy, if an organization like the one that set up at Bono wanted to set up another operation and they rolled the dice and didn't do the sound studies? Mm-hmm. How would that impact this?
If they did not do the sound studies and just began operating, then they would be, I'm just going to speak loud for a little bit. And they're going to be subject to a violation of the ordinance. And that subject to the violation for not permitting is the same as the subject if it is over the noise levels that's defined by the ordinance. So it doesn't matter which part of the ordinance they violate, it's still a violation of the ordinance. So whether they violate the failure to permit or whether they violate the excessive noise, both have the same violations, both would result in penalties.
So is there a way, there may not be, but is there a way that if an organization like that set up without going through this process and a complaint was filed, could they be shut down until they satisfy these requirements?
Well, the easy answer to that is yes. I mean, they can be shut down by a judge. A judge, you know, has the ability to issue an injunction for a variety of reasons, but this ordinance would certainly be part of that as far as shutting anything down. But that's not something that can be done without a court order.
But we couldn't codify it where it could happen like that.
Well, there's two things that we can't really codify. One is contempt. The second thing is it's already codified or it's already part of this ordinance as far as for a violation that an injunction can be requested. So it's within the ordinance.
Okay.
Just some.
Council Murphy, this would be for you. I mean, you probably don't want to answer this question, and you may not know the answer to this question, but I'm certainly for this. The only concern I have is the legalities of it. Would this hold up in court?
Well, I expect it to hold up in court, yes, sir.
Uh-huh. You're the first to answer that question.
Councilor Murphy, one of the other questions that I have received multiple times, and I'm going to let you explain it, is the site in Bono is already up and running. Will this ordinance, how will this ordinance affect the existing facility?
Yeah, there's several parts of the ordinance. As far as the permitting goes, this ordinance won't affect that site. That's already done and gone, and we're beyond that point. The permitting process simply is from here on out for other facilities. But the issues in regards to the noise still would be permittable to be a violation. So just like any crime that this court, that this body may codify and say is a misdemeanor, which you have the ability under statute and constitution to do that, even though they are already proceeding in that, they would be on notice that, hey, you need to stop, and there's a current noise ordinance, and if they exceed that, then the sheriff's office would be equipped with the ability to issue a citation if they meet the, or if they violate the standards established in the ordinance.
Further questions? Just one.
Thank you, Judge. One quick, if you don't mind, I have a couple, I have kind of multiple questions, if that's okay.
Sure.
So first off, I'm not a big fan of piecemeal ordinances that are call out specific industries. I guess that's where to put it. I'll just leave that on the front end. So reading through this a little bit, notice requirements, talk about within a half mile radius of the property line. It just says mail. I mean, are we talking about certificate of mailings? Are we talking about certified letters? How do you know that they sent a letter out? Are you requesting copies of the requesting copies?
I think in that ordinance it says that the proof has to be filed with the county clerk. So,
but like the actual letter, like a copy of letters.
Yeah.
Is there a public hearing involved in this? I know everything looks like everything goes to the judge's office, but is there actually an actual public hearing, or is just a letter of notification and that's it?
Yeah, there is no public hearing requirement in this.
But residents could submit comments within that 30-day period.
Absolutely. Just like, for instance, in this particular issue, several residents have voiced concerns with the county judge, and I'm sure with members of the quorum court as well.
Obviously, this ordinance only affects the unincorporated portions of Fauquier County. How is that going to relate to cities that choose to interpret zoning into their ETJs? Still go to the county judge's office, or are you going to leave that to the planning commissions of the cities that have planning commissions?
It would still, even within the ETJ, which is the extraterritorial jurisdiction, which is the zone outside of the city limit, that would still fall under this ordinance, as long as it falls in the unincorporated area.
And then, just a shock, when I listened to the committee, I know you had concerns on who's taking the noise, who is, you know, writing reports, taking staff away. Just how are we going to handle, you know, obviously it's going to require more training of deputies or code enforcement officers or whoever ends up being the, I guess, liaison that handles these complaints.
Yeah, the sheriff's office would be the one tasked with equipping and figuring out how to train, and that is certainly a concern that I think Sheriff Rawls has, or Chief Woolley had voiced in committee.
Thank you.
Judge?
Yes, Kendrick.
If I may, I've got several concerns with this ordinance. I mean, there is no doubt anybody that's been out to Bonham, you know there's an issue. I would not want to live there when you can't sit out on your front porch. I don't know what to say. It's ridiculous, and there's multiple homes that are affected by this. I do have some issues with this. I'm worried about the crypto-specific language in there. I'm worried about the burdensome nature of the noise attenuation section and the permitting process. I'm also concerned about the crypto mining section. So I'm going to make a motion to amend 2320. And I've got an amended ordinance, and instead of calling all the changes out, I'm going to hand this out to the justices. I provided an overview over here, but I'll go a little more in depth into it.
Judge, if I may, can I ask one question? If you don't mind?
Sure, go right ahead.
Attorney Murphy, is there a, or Judge Dawson, is there a state level that oversees these sites that you know of right now, like ADQ or anyone else? Wow.
No, there is no state level organization that oversees the site.
Okay, thank you.
Beyond the obvious, with other areas that are obviously regulated.
Judge.
Mrs. Coates.
I also want to make a point that it's not these people stepping out on the front porch and being able to enjoy a glass of tea sitting on the back porch. These people can hear this sound 24/7 from their bedrooms. So it's not something where you have to step outside to, you know, you can just stay inside your home and not be bothered. These people can hear this sound 24/7 from the inside of their bedrooms.
I live 4 miles from that place and I hear it all the time.
Ma'am, thank you.
Okay. No, I agree with you, Justice Coates. That's what there's no doubt you could not hear that inside the homes. And I mean, just driving down the road, I've been out there a couple times. Went out there again last night. Called one of the state representatives here in town, just Representative Matt Brown. I was like, "Do you want to take a field trip?" Put my boys out there. I was like, "Let's go up here." They were talking about cryptocurrency and Bitcoin and all those things because I'm pro crypto. I think it's a good thing. I don't have any issues with mining crypto, but just the noise level, the lack of care for our neighbors, and this is about being a good neighbor here in Faulkner County. We drove by it. The noise sounded similar to what it was. I pulled over in the energy right away there in the lane that goes up to the substation, was sitting there waiting on somebody that lives in northern Faulkner County that's out there pretty frequently. And because I was curious, I was like, how does this compare to what you have? So just Representative Brown and I were sitting there, and my kids were sitting there with our windows down over there. And there's a security guard sitting, his car's there. See him get out of his car, he pops his trunk, he proceeds to get his rifle case out, hold his AR-15 up, make sure we see it. And then he decides to get in his car, and he pulls his car over as close as he can on that property and puts a video camera in the window. So I think there's a continual disregard for being a good neighbor, and this is not acceptable. But that said, I think there's been a lot of work put into this ordinance, but I think some of it is problematic. And what I've done here, I changed the definition of data center just to a basic data center definition. I removed the crypto mining specific language, and you can see throughout here. To me, this isn't a crypto issue. This is a data center issue. It could be any type of data center making this type of noise, and I don't care whether you're mining crypto. I don't care if you're Google. If you're making this type of noise, you're not being a good neighbor, and it's not acceptable. So that right there, I think it should just apply to any of them that's out in the county. Currently, we only have one, but if others are looking at going out in the county, I think it would do that. Also changed a little bit of the verbiage on the decibel levels, just to clarify that if you're not within that, if you're actually below that range, that it still could be a noise disturbance if there is continual sounds that are going on. So I think it expands that a little bit. And remove the noise attenuation. The noise attenuation and the permitting, I think that definitely drives up costs. I think it's a burden on any potential data centers. And basically, after talking with several people, they had some major concerns with that. But at the end of the day, what I was trying to do with these few amendments to this ordinance is that if there's noise and there's a complaint made, that bad actor can be fined. And that's basically what it is. I don't care how you get the noise down. I don't care if you put it in your underground bunker. I don't care if you build walls. I don't care if you build a facility around it and do it the proper way, if you cool it the proper way. I just don't want the noise. People should be able to live their life. It shouldn't be impacted about their daily life, sitting in their homes having to listen to this. So that is just a quick high-level overview of what I did here with this ordinance. I wanted to put it before the court because currently in its current form with some of those, I'm not sure I could support it despite there being an issue, and nobody's doubting that issue. And I think it's one of those things that it's just completely unacceptable. It's about being a good neighbor. And even the stunt last night with the security guard with my children there and the state representative, was there a threat? If that man was threatened by me, a state representative, and my two young children sitting across the street down the road, nowhere near him, not on the property, where he had to get his firearm out, I think you need to look at who you're doing business with. That's a problem. That's all I've got to say. Thank you, Judge.
Judge, I have a couple questions, if I may.
Thank you. Hang on just a second. Point of order, we have a motion and second, right? So
no second.
We don't have a second.
I'm not sure if we got a full motion.
Motion to amend 2320 to this current version.
I'll second that.
Okay, so a motion and a second to amend to read as presented by Justice Kendrick's handout. All right, so on the amendment, any discussion?
Yes, I have two questions. One, Councilor Murphy, you said that this would not apply to this particular one that we've named, but would the penalties and fines refer, like, would the penalties and fines apply to them? You said that it's after the fact. Now, ones that come into our county, this applies to, right?
I'm not sure I understand your question.
Well, you said that one of Ono, we can't do anything with that.
With permitting. With the permitting.
Oh, okay. Never mind. I misheard.
And then I've also clarified that the motion that's being considered and discussed right now is the amendment as handed out by Justice Kendrick, so the changes only.
That's right, and the amended does not include permitting.
Got you. And the second question, and I don't know, this is maybe an old fashioned, but what was the reason behind not having or making them have a public meeting? Because you had noticed that there was no public meeting verbiage in here. I think it'd be a good idea if they come in our county, they should have to tell our people about it, like face to face.
I think that's a potential discussion point, but with the motion on the table, we probably need to save that discussion if, since there's no permitting in this particular ordinance.
Judge. I have a concern with the legality and the timing of all of this. I know the Arkansas Association of Counties, along with Councilor Murphy, there's a lot of detailed consideration that went into the ordinance as it reads now. Councilor Murphy, do you feel comfortable moving forward with something that's been amended without having much time to look over it and read it?
Absolutely.
And
simply, I mean, this amendment is less, not more. So much of it was already incorporated.
I also want to make one other point. Justice Kendrick spoke about the burden of making the permitting and all of those things. I'm trying to be nice, but their burden load is not my concern. The lives of our community and the well-being of our community is my concern, much more so than any burden that we place on these companies that come in and literally drop a bomb in a very peaceful place. Just a point.
Sure, yeah. No, that's a fair point, and that's your prerogative to feel that way. It's just one of those things, personally. It could be any data center. It's not just crypto. So it's something that anybody that moves in the county could face that. And at the end of the day, when looking at it, you know, if we've got bad actors that are operating in the county that disregard the well-being of our individuals here and how they treat our community and elected officials, I tend to think that that entire permitting process, they're probably just going to ignore or do what they want to and go on about it. So, me personally, I talk to multiple people that mine crypto, that are good actors, that do it the right way, and they were like, we couldn't do that. It's going to add significant cost, significant burden to do that. With the way it was set up. So that's why I removed all that. It seemed excessive to me personally. I don't think ultimately it would stop a bad actor if they wanted to do those things. And my basic premise behind this is that if you are violating these noise levels, you can be fined if there's a complaint made. That's it. I don't care how you mitigate it. I'm not going to get into your business that way. As long as it's below these levels and people can live their lives and not be impacted, that's your prerogative to mitigate it how you best see fit and cost effectively. Like I said, they can do it underground. They can do it above ground. It does not matter to me as long as they adhere to those levels. So that's
all right. Let's do this. I'm going to take a 5-minute recess. I need to use the restroom. We can't proceed until I get back. Let's take 5 minutes, review the proposed amended ordinance. Proceed. Full court is now back in session. All right, so we took a 5-minute recess, and hopefully those of you who have further questions, hopefully each of you had time to review the proposed amended ordinance, and so let's continue discussion. Any further questions or comments on the amendment? Justice Allison?
Yes, Councilor Murphy. If we talk about a bad actor coming in without the permit process, and then there'd be held to the fine in this ordinance for either not doing a permit process or violating noise. But until there's a complaint, which is going to redirect that from the noise, they're still going to suffer the same consequences. Is that correct? With or without the noise attenuation efforts?
You're asking me if a neighbor will suffer the same consequences?
No. If the offender violates the noise attenuation effort, or if he doesn't, but does violate the noise, it's still the same consequence.
It's the same penalty for either the permitting issue that we discussed earlier or for the exceeding the noise limits.
But absent a complaint, he would not suffer a consequence for just the permitting violation.
Correct.
So we remove the noise attenuation effort, the reporting, all the pre- So it's still going to end up the same consequence for a bad actor.
Potentially. I don't think I can say it 100% that it's the same, because certainly if there is permitting, then that's a violation in and of itself. If somebody complains that, hey, there's an issue going on, and then you would have an additional potential complaint afterwards once the noise begins. So And maybe I'm not understanding your question.
Now it sounds like you're saying now that if they start building a data center and someone complains, says, hey, they're building a data center, that you're saying that would be a violation
under the previous, the noise? Under the previous ordinance that was on the table.
So it wouldn't be under this
one? Not under the current one, no, sir. This one has no permitting involved in it.
Justice is just... I know this is a big change, and Judge, may I speak for a second, just real quick? I know this is a big change. It does remove some of the sections, but these are just some of the issues that I personally had with the ordinance. I was trying to simplify it. It's one of those things, if the quorum court does not like this version and we like the original version, that's fine. It's just one of those, I saw some issues, trying to address them. Here was the alternative I came up with, and by no means is it perfect. Very few things that we pass out of here are perfect, but it's my attempt at it, and that's basically just to simplify more on the noise complaint end of it, have it for that, and less on that front side, on the permitting side.
I just want to clear that I am in support of this. I mean, to me, it's the noise we're trying to get rid of, not trying to impose a noise attenuation effort, but, and I think the disordinance would do that, and if we got a good data center that's going to come in and be a good neighbor, I don't see a need to make it more difficult for them on the front end. I just can't see where somebody starts building over there and you walk over and say, what are you building in there? Like, where is the data center? And I just can't see that making a big difference. So I'm in support of this. I like it. I like that it applies to any data center, and it's a noise violation. I would... Can we move to amend the amendment?
We've got a motion on the floor, so we'd have to accept this one, and then I think there would have to be new motions for that.
And
am I correct?
A couple of points to make as well. The permitting and the noise attenuation section of the ordinance is important because in the situation in Bono, they came in and everybody wondered what was going on, and if there was the noise attenuation part and they had to get a permit, that would be, we would catch it earlier, if that makes sense. It wouldn't be up and running before we knew what was going on, like what happened in Bono. Justice Kendrick, my other point is I appreciate so much the fact that you went out there and listened to it, and I also appreciate so many of your amendments. There are some that concern me, and some of them that I really like a lot. My point that I made with Councilor Murphy earlier is that we just had so much time in committee and everything else with our original ordinance. Would you be on board to go ahead and pass the original ordinance as it reads tonight before the August 1st deadline, and then through committee next month and next month's full court, we can work through some of these amendments?
I think personally I'm going to let my motion stay just to let the court see what they think about it. If they don't like it, personally, as much as I know there is a noise issue, just some of the language in that original one, I don't think I could probably vote for that due to some of that language. And it's not because I don't think there's a noise issue. I know there is, but it just gives me heartburn. So I'll leave my motion on the table and I'll let the court discuss and vote, and the will of the court can proceed forward.
I would have appreciated these amendments being brought up in committee.
Well, I guess to address that, this was sent out very late. Sorry, Justice Craig. This was sent out very late. There wasn't really time to look at these. Once again, through FOIA and everything else, this is how I could bring the amendments forth tonight. So I'm doing what I can with what I got. So, sorry.
It's great.
Yeah, is this thing on?
Yes.
Oh, sorry, I don't want to blast anybody out. Okay, this thing about removing the crypto mining data center specific language, I think it should remain specific because this whole thing got started because of the crypto mining, and we want to discourage any others from moving in to the area without doing the permissions and all that permits that we're talking about. And if we want to change some of these later, I agree with Justice Coates that we could do this after we pass this. We don't want to miss this August deadline. So I think we should vote as it was presented without the, no offense to you, your work.
That's fine. Yes, Judge, if I may, just to make a point for the audience and the justices, the only place that I left crypto mining in there, it's in the definitions. It's in Section 2 of the data center. And basically, I just said it includes but is not limited to commercial crypto mining facilities. So that's just so that it is explicitly clear that this would apply to that, but it's not limited to that. It would apply to others, as you said, Justice Grady. So. Yeah.
Further discussion? Further questions?
Yes, Your Honor. Excuse me. This is definitely on. I do have a question for you, Justice Kendrick. I noticed in your amended version, you got Article 5 here, and you've left in the first section with A, B, and C. And I noticed you took out 2 and 3, which in the original ordinance here seems to be the actual meat of how you actually violate the ordinance. So I'm just trying to get clear with you on how does someone violate your amended version? Does that make sense?
Sure. It would be for the noise limitations. It would be...
It would basically be if the readings came out above those noise limitations, then those would be the violation.
So Article 4.
It sets the limitations of the noise.
I see. And sections 2 and 3 in the original version, did they not do that? Because it seems like they do.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so it is in. It's just down here now. Okay. All right. Sorry. I'm doing my best to understand the amended version. Now, I appreciate you bringing forward an amended version, and I'll just say my quick piece and I'll be done, because I can't support the original version for a variety of reasons, and I really hate that this is all put upon us under a proposed time crunch that is really the fault of the Arkansas State Legislature, not this county. We have a larger issue, in my opinion, here that we need to be addressing here, which is county planning, which is county noise ordinances, because this is not unique just to this data center. We have had other noise issues in the county. I have another one I'm dealing with right now. And from my perspective, this is a larger problem. And I do not want to rush through this issue and impose various regulations on, you know, specific industries just because there's one particular bad actor. I think it's rushed government, and it'll lead to bad policy. And so, unfortunately, I really can't support the original, and I'm doing my best to try to find reason to support the amended version as I can, but right now I'm not sure I'm there.
Justice Lahosky.
Thank you, Judge. Justice Kendrick, I appreciate your adjustment of the language of cryptocurrency, you know, because a data center is a data center. It doesn't matter what that data center is doing, what it's processing, whether it's crypto or BIPTO or make up any other noun yet to be created. Like Justice Pierce said, we try to hit at the heart of the problem, not just look at what's dangling in front of our face today and solve that, but try to go a couple steps deeper to solve the real issue here. Thank you, Judge.
Thank you. Further questions or comments? Justice Lyon.
I do like the proposed amendments. I do have a little bit of heartburn with not really having a permitting process. Hopefully, either at the state level or potentially we can look at this in the future, having some sort of permitting process. I will say, going back to the original, I'm not a fan of the permitting process in there. I mean, that still leaves a little bit to be. The amendments, there's some good and bad on both of it. But my heartburn is just the no permitting part of it.
Just a string.
I'd have to say that I agree with Justice Coates saying this is just should have been brought forth in the committee process. And there's some things I like on here, but it's just, it almost seems like something Congress would do, and bring in a 1,000-page bill, you know, to vote on at the last minute. But so I think I would like to see this, the original one, passed tonight if we can, and then I would like to see it amended in committee. I think there's some things that we do need to talk about, but we unfortunately are under a deadline, so. And of, not of our own making, by the way. So. Thank
you. Other comments? Jeff Selson.
In committee would probably been best, but this ordinance that we have before us tonight wasn't brought forth until, like, it wasn't posted on the website early, because I understand y'all were still working on it. Not complaining about that at all. Just saying that maybe Justice Kendrick, if it had been on the website days before, he might have brought this up in the committee process last week, but may have been prevented from doing that just because of the time frame. I'd also like to ask Councilman Murphy, is there any difference, do you think, in this amended ordinance's ability to hold up in court versus the original?
Let me, being an attorney myself, and just let me jump in before Councilor Murphy does. There are some questions that are probably not appropriate for him to answer. What I can say, and you've heard him say, is that he's confident, at least the version that he created would hold up in court. And I think that's entirely appropriate for a county attorney to say.
Judge.
Hold on just 1 second. I'm sorry. Justice Allison, does that answer? You still want a response from our counselor?
I'd just like to know if it's possible, or if we can get an answer, is there something in this amended ordinance that will make it more likely to not hold up in court?
Judge, if I may, I'm going to kind of answer your question. The reason that this ordinance was not brought and posted on the website was not because we were trying to not be transparent. It was because there was strategic consideration to every word by a multitude of different organizations. Councilor Murphy, different groups worked on it. So that's why I am in favor of this ordinance, was because so much time and attention to detail was put forth. I am not opposed to amending this ordinance next month as it goes through committee and before the full court again, but it just scares me, the fact that we're putting something out here that there was so much time and consideration on the legalities of it, and then we're amending it to something that has been done in the last hour. That is concerning to me.
Thank you. Justice Allison, did we answer your question?
Yes, sir. I still want to ask, there's this amended ordinance is still going to violate the noise. That's what we're really, I mean, I think all of us want the noise addressed, the noise issue addressed. Mm-hmm. And I still think changing the definition to data center, in light of the state law, everybody keeps talking about the August 1st deadline. And if we pass this amended ordinance tonight, it's still going to be in place before that August 1st deadline. And it's still going to call the intolerable noise that's created at the Bono site into question. It's still going to have the consequence. And we've already established that the permitting process is not going to affect the bad actors that we have already. So I personally just don't have an issue with the amendment. And I wasn't trying to imply that y'all were trying to be anything less than transparent. I knew you were working on it up until the last minute. But I just also want to make sure that I just put it out there that Justice Kendrick did not have an opportunity to prepare this, because I think Justice Kendrick did put a lot of thought into this, not necessarily in the last hour, but I think he probably did spend quite a bit of time. He just didn't have time to get through that and put that effort in before the committee meetings.
And I'll just add, the organically, the way that this is not a new issue. This has been discussed in virtually every county in Arkansas. I know that at least the language of the one presented, the ordinance that was presented tonight, and I think Justice Kendrick's ordinance is rooted in large part on that ordinance. In that ordinance was drafted, I don't know how many discussions have gone back and forth between Councilor Murphy and the Association of Arkansas Counties, many other counties. It's a broad issue. It's not easy to address. Look, I mean, to be honest, those of you who are in attendance are seeing the legislative body of this county wrestle with how we approach things in America. I mean, they don't take this lightly. I can assure you, if you attended the committee meeting on this very issue, you have seen genuine legislation in action. I mean, they're trying to address a problem that exists out there while being true to what they think American government should do. I mean, I would just put that on the record. They have given genuine effort. I'm proud of each and every one. You've seen different views. And it's just not easy, no matter where they fall on the original as presented here or on the as amended. It's just not easy. But what I wanted to take recognition of is the genuine effort here on a difficult issue, and the motivation is to do the right thing. The motivation is to do the right thing. They see people suffering. They want to allow commerce and business. If I could speak on their behalf, just listening to this and discussions I've had with many of them, the discussions that our administration judge's office has had. There are other counties I've spoken with other judges. It's not an easy issue. And it may very well be litigated. We may find that answer, Justice Allison and Justice Copes. And if that's the case, I can tell you this county can hold its head high, but it did its absolute best, not in an unprepared way, not in an unstudied way, with every last effort to try to make the best local legislation we can. You've heard it mentioned, potentially a state legislative issue. Obviously, the August 1st deadline, if it hasn't been made clear to those in the audience, is imposed by a state statute passed or an act that was passed that said, hey, if you're going to do anything with data centers, it's got to be done by August 1st. I'm paraphrasing heavily there. This body had a choice, do something or nothing, and you see what they're doing. And I applaud them for that. Been much wailing and gnashing of teeth, trying to stay true to what they believe they should do for both their constituents and the county. So I appreciate their effort. I appreciate my staff and administration. They're doing the best they can, and they're happy with where they are. They're on the cusp of a vote. I know a lot of people have been suffering, and there are many other eyes around the state of Arkansas watching this video, and we'll be watching it in the coming days. So, Justice Coates.
I would like some clarification on the permitting process that's in the original ordinance, and this is for Councilor Murphy. So my understanding, correct me if I'm wrong, is that let's just say the company comes in and they fail to send out letters and to notify the residents, and there is a complaint made. We can stop the building process, perhaps, if there's a court order, before it even starts, because the permitting process was not followed correctly, versus waiting until the noise is an issue and then having a complaint.
Potentially, but Ms. Coates, this motion doesn't have permitting on it. We probably need to limit discussion to the motion that's on the table.
I just wanted to compare the two. Okay. Their
yes.
original one, that's how it would stand, correct?
That's right.
Judge, just if I may, I just want to make it clear, I'm not accusing anybody of lack of transparency or anything else. I know there's been multiple justices that have tried to tackle this that have been multiple ordinances now. Everybody's done a ton of work, and this is this is something that we are being forced to address. So I just want to make that clear. If the justices don't accept this amendment, that's fine. You know, that's fine. No hard feelings. This was just my attempt. And so just throwing that out there. But everybody's done a lot of work. I know there's been issues getting data and ordinances from AAC. And it's something that everybody's looking at, everybody's working on. And I know everybody's working hard. So just put it like that.
Well spoken. Any other comments? Okay, so the vote before the court right now is on whether to adopt the ordinance as amended and presented by Justice Kendrick. I believe you all have a copy. You've had an opportunity to review that. You heard the discussion. Last call for discussion on the amendment.
Judge Dodson, just for clarification, this is a vote for the motion, not for the, for the motion, not for the ordinance.
The motion to amend.
Yeah, the motion to amend.
Very good. Seeing no further discussion, Madam.
Yes, Your Honor. Allison.
Yes.
Coates.
No.
Grady.
No.
Kendricks.
Yes.
Knight.
No.
Lahosky.
Yes.
Lyon.
Yes.
Moss.
Yes.
Pearson.
Yes.
Schock.
Yes.
Strain.
No.
Tyler.
No.
Seven.
That's seven, and so the motion passes, right?
That's correct. Okay.
So now the ordinance, the motion before the court is whether to adopt the ordinance as now amended, just so we're clear. Is there any discussion after the amendment? Judge Selson.
Yes, Judge, thank you. I would like to make a motion to amend the times in Article 6, Section 2A, change 10 p.m. to 8 p.m. in both places.
Could you repeat that, please?
Yes, sir. In Article 6, oh, sorry, I'm looking at Article 4. The original. Sorry, my bad. That's fine. Article 4, in the same paragraph, I would like to make a motion to change the operating hours at 60 decibels to 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. and at 55 decibels from 8 p.m. to 8 a.m.
I second that.
Okay, motion to amend the times as stated by Justice Allison. Any discussion? Justice Lyon.
Yes, offhand, do we have any noise limitations on any other facilities in the county?
We absolutely do not.
Thank you.
Any further discussion? Just self.
It's a specific case, but it's well known that Ms. Anderson has an autistic son who is enduring this 24 hours a day at this level. I've got young grandchildren at home to go to bed before 10 p.m. And I would hate to think that an operation like this moved in with my young children in the house and they had to listen to this past their bedtime.
Thank you. Any further discussion changing the time? Seeing none, Madam.
So this one's on the Second Amendment?
Yes.
Allison?
Yes.
Coates?
Yes.
Grady?
Yes.
Kendricks?
Yes.
Knight?
Yes.
Lahosky?
Yes.
Lyon?
No.
Moss?
Yes.
Pearson?
Yes.
Schock?
Yes.
Strain?
Yes.
Tyler?
Yes.
Okay, that motion passes. So the time will be amended. We've still got the ordinance as amended now twice on the floor, adopting Justice Kendrick's amendments and Justice Allison's time amendment. Okay, any further discussion?
Your Honor, this is just for the court. So due to the change of the Section 2 to data center, I will have to abstain from the vote because my employer operates multiple data centers throughout the county. So that is the reason why I'm voting that way, voting present.
Thanks for the clarification. I appreciate the recognition. Thinking on your feet.
Further discussion?
Will it still need nine to pass with emergency clause?
Yes.
Question. Is it just a clarification on that? Because we had, because, well, never mind. We got everybody. We started out with missing a few, but we got them. Never mind.
Threshold for an emergency ordinance.
I have a question regarding the newly amended version here. Since it pertains to all data centers, will it be affected by any state language about crypto-specific data centers, or could this potentially be debated further?
It's arguable. I think that's safe to say.
It is, and the statute that we keep referring to basically says that there's nothing to prevent us in August or September from amending this particular ordinance as it relates to all data centers. The statute that has been referenced basically says that come August, we just can't delineate or discriminate against crypto mining in relation to data centers. So basically, come September, we couldn't create a crypto mining ordinance unless something changes from the statute. This ordinance as it stands, though, is not a crypto mining ordinance. It's a data center ordinance. So to answer your question, this is something that we could take up next month.
And that's my point, is since this is not crypto specific, this is speaking to data centers in general, I would much rather see, you know, this have three readings and not have an emergency clause. But I'm really not... I'm probably going to vote against it because I don't like the cherry picking of industry here. I don't think it's the way the county should be doing business. This is a larger issue, like I said earlier. I understand this is very sensitive and there are a lot of people suffering. This is one of the most difficult votes I've had to cast on the court here. But I'm trying to see if we can keep the issue alive and try to work with it rather than it just be finalized tonight. So that's the reason for my question. Thank you.
Further discussion? Okay, just to be clear, so the vote before the court is to pass this ordinance as amended now twice or not. Any further discussion? Madam Secretary.
Yes, Your Honor. Allison.
Yes.
Coates.
Yes.
Grady.
Yes.
Kendricks.
Yes.
Knight.
Abstain.
Lahosky.
Yes.
Lyon.
Present.
Moss.
Yes.
Pearson.
Present.
Schock.
Yes.
Strain.
Yes.
Tyler.
Yes.
Nine.
Nine votes, he passes.
Nine votes, three present, and an abstain. The ordinance passes. And so at this point, I applaud the effort, no matter whether you're in the audience, you're for that ordinance or against, or you're for a different version or against. You have to recognize the work that our legislators have done. I respect each one of them for that. You saw a bunch of genuine discussion on a very difficult issue. And so I personally thank them. Next on our agenda is tab number 8, proposed ordinance 23-22, appropriation ordinance ARP, Criminal Justice Council. Tab number 8.
Judge, I make a motion that we take proposed ordinance 23-22 and put it on the table for the court's consideration.
Second.
Okay, motion second, Counselor.
Proposed ordinance 23-22, sponsored by Justice Mary Coates, being enacted by Coroner Court, County of Faulkner, State of Arkansas, an ordinance to be entitled an appropriation ordinance to amend and supplement Faulkner County Ordinance 22-63, dated December 23, 2022, and to declare an emergency.
Thank you. Any discussion? Do we have an explanation of this?
Yes, sir. I would like to reach out to Captain Hillman. If you would please just explain a little bit about what this actually does in the gap before the state takes over.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you for hearing me today. Starting next year, there is a new law that they just passed that's going to be required that we supplement the copay for insurance for mental health services for first responders. And so Randy Higgins has decided to help us out and helped us by presenting this because we want to get a jump on that. We already had 16 people of our people seen on an emergency basis this year. Most of that's been pro bono. And we would like to help them. We absolutely do not want our people to be financially burdened by this job any more than what they already are. So that's the purpose for this, is to help with that.
Thank you for that.
Yes,
sir. I'm going to ask a question just to be clear and to make a point, that the counseling is completely voluntary. So the first responder, this is not a requirement for them to go. It's only if they feel that it is needed, correct?
That's correct, yes. We are statutorily obligated to offer critical incident debrief services, and we are obligated to offer these services, but we cannot force them, nor would we ever do that.
This is Lane.
Thank you, Captain Hillman. I love this right here. I think it's a great thing. How is this different from, I guess, the typical county insurance? Is this a different program, different supplemental program, or excuse my ignorance,
And that's kind of a loaded question because a lot of providers aren't able to carry insurance because they can't afford that, and so we would have to do cash pay.
Okay.
And so the ones that can, this just supplements, and that keeps our people. You pay $35 a week for a copay, that adds up, and a lot of these guys absolutely don't have that money.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Further discussion? Captain, thank you. All right. Seeing no further discussion. All right. This is appropriation ordinance. So roll call, please. Roll call vote.
Yes, sir. Allison.
Yes.
Coates.
Yes.
Grady.
Yes.
Kendricks.
Yes.
Knight.
Yes.
Lahosky.
Yes.
Lyon.
Yes.
Moss.
Yes.
Pearson.
Yes.
Shock.
Yes.
Strain.
Yes.
Tyler.
Yes. Motion carries, the ordinance passes. Congratulations, and thank you to all of our, thank you, Sheriff, and your entire organization. Thank you for your presence here tonight, everything you do. So, and I know that we all appreciate the state legislature for passing that law. This is to fill the gap until then, right? So, thank you so much. Moving right along, tab number 9. Any additional proposals passed in committee? This was a placeholder for the agenda. When the agenda was printed and published, we knew there would be a meeting before this meeting tonight. It was not yet known whether that committee would actually send anything to the full court. So that's what this placeholder is. And Justice Knight, the Infrastructure Committee, I know Ned, is there any business to bring to the full court?
Yes, Your Honor. I make a motion that we pass Resolution 2306 tonight.
Second. Very good. We've got a motion and a second, Counselor.
Fulton County Quorum Court proposed Resolution 23-06 be resolved by the Quorum Court, Fulton County, State of Arkansas, resolution expressing the willingness of Fulton County to utilize Federal Aid Transportation Program funds for the Surface Transportation Block Grant and Carbon Reduction Program.
Thank you for that reading. Justice Knight?
Yes, Your Honor. So what this is a grant to basically do an engineering study to look at a connector road from Highway 65 at Tyler to Highway 25. This will be an ongoing study, and they'll probably come back to us if we were to be awarded this within a year to look at plans to move forward if we're awarded monies for that. And Mr. Anderson could probably speak to it a lot more in depth than I can.
No, thank you for that understanding. And Road Administrator Anderson, if you have anything to add, I would yield the floor to you.
This is just a study to plan it if we get the grant money. And like Justice Knight said, we would have to come back for funding at a later time. And the funding is not guaranteed for the planning nor the construction, and full funding is not guaranteed for either one. So it's a competitive process. It's scoreable. You may get some or all of what we're asking for.
Thank you so much. Great explanations. And let me just underscore all this. Really is a traffic corridor focus from really the county perspective, but certainly from my administration. It dominates, I'd say, most days. I think it's fair to say if you ask any of our staff about future traffic needs in our county. And I'd say half of each of my days is focused on future traffic planning for Faulkner County. Anyone live in Greenbrier? Anybody drive through Greenbrier? Okay. I don't need to say anything more to you, but to the others there, Highway 65 is where it's at in Greenbrier. And so what we want to do as a county for your benefit here on the court is we want to create ways for our local residents in Greenbrier and those of us who visit Greenbrier, ways to get around the city of Greenbrier without having to be on Highway 65 any more than you had to be honest. And so roughly what we're doing in coordination with Mayor Hartwick and the city of Greenbrier, who they have a master street plan there, and we want to intersect with that at the county, city limits. We want to partner with them on working on those corridors. One of the biggest problems is school traffic. So on the west side of Highway 65, we want to create north-south corridor, really on the west side of 65 and then on the east side of 65. This would be the lower connector of that western north-south corridor. This would connect Highway 25 by the high school, near the high school, over to Highway 65, south of there. And so the school traffic, the bus traffic, the mom and pop traffic, dropping kids off to school and picking them back up. The focal point there is where Highway 25, the traffic light at Highway 65, and this is geared toward offloading that. So some of our funding opportunities are to go to STBG. You hear us talk about STBG grant funds, surface transportation block grant funds. And that'd be federal money that flow down to the state. It's a competitive process, as Administrator Anderson, Road Administrator Anderson pointed out. We're not guaranteed for this, but in order to apply for that, we have to have the court's blessing in the form of a resolution. And so we would rather use those federal funds to plan this route than our own funds, out of our own local funds. So this is an opportunity to go after those grant funds. No guarantee at all that we will get it. But so we're asking for your approval for that request for STBG funds to do some designing and planning. And that would be in the form of resolution. So I want to thank the Infrastructure Committee and Justice Knight for supporting this. So having with those explanations having been made, is there any discussion? Justice Light.
Sorry, I keep talking too much tonight. Is there hope of, obviously you're already working alongside the city of Greenbrier and Mayor Hartwick, working with them, or have they passed a resolution that would be in support of this as well?
I am
back in the county.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, we are applying for the funds. We offered to do that. They could have done the same.
Yeah.
No, great question.
Judge, this may be for you, Judge, or Mr. Anderson. Obviously, the deadline is July 31st. Has Metro Plan or the Feds kind of given a deadline of when they plan to disperse? I'm assuming it's been fiscal year 24 for the Feds.
I don't recall the date, but our focus was getting in, you know, the application at the time. You're familiar with the great questions. I think you're probably at more advanced level than those in here. I don't recall the award date. I'm hopeful it's probably something we would fund. It's that important. Can I get an amen from the Greenbrier traffic? Probably something we would fund. And so we really just kind of focused on, hey, let's make sure we're making use of any federal funding opportunities we've got.
So. Very good. I mean, Highway 65 is a very, very busy, and I take the 25 cut through all the time. So this is actually a really good thing. I think having the judge, Mr. Anderson, and the rest in the court itself working with Greenbrier is going to be a good thing on this. So appreciate it. Thank you.
It really is. If you talk to both Mayor Robinson over in Worcester and Mayor Hartwick in Greenbrier, they will tell you there are 3,000 plats or platted lots that they have identified in the near future likely to be platted. And so much of the Faulkner County, you know, the Faulkner County dialogue with RDOT and Metro Plan is focused on future growth in the northern part of the county. beautiful countryside up there. If you had, you know, take a Sunday drive up there and look around, a lot of beautiful places to live anywhere in the county. But we know that there's a lot of growth coming in that area, and we're focused like a laser in the road administration at looking at future. What we don't want to do is arrive at bad traffic, and it's coming. I can assure you, it is coming. The growth is going to happen. The only thing remaining, the only question remaining for Faulkner County is whether we get there ahead of the growth. And so we're focused on quality of life, which will foster economic development. I make no secret, we're in favor of economic development. Of course, that would drive commerce and property taxes and sales tax and football games and libraries and, you know, just general activities and quality of life here. We're probably, you know, we look forward to being able to talk to you about each one of, you know, we have to be careful. I mean, if we're talking about a new corridor, there's going to be buzz out there. Well, where is it going to be? You know, that sort of discussion. And I know Justice Lyon is very familiar with this. I'm saying this really for the benefit of everyone else, is that you can look forward to us talking in those terms much more in the future. So that's exciting. It's needed. Our road foreman will tell you that's his number one priority. He's cheerleader for that connector. That's definitely one of our high priorities here in the county, so from the road department standpoint. So, all right, any further question on that? It being a resolution, all in favor indicate so by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you for that discussion and question. If I'm not mistaken, that's the last item of new business. So no appointments this month. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
I think you told Mary that she could speak briefly.
Our extension agent?
Yes.
Yeah, we're almost to announcements. Okay. Any appointments this month? I don't believe there are any. So next we go to our wonderful county agent.
Thank you,
Mary Beth Chris. Club that we
traditionally had in Faulkner County. We haven't had it for many years. It is simply a club that the public is invited to attend, and you have monthly meetings. You learn a new educational topic, whatever's current, and we contribute to a nonprofit charitable organization related to Faulkner County to give back to as a collective group. So that meeting will be across the street, back there in our office at 6 o'clock tomorrow. And the last thing is, we are, if you're familiar with Master Gardeners, our next class is coming up in October. So if you or someone you know is interested in becoming a Master Gardener, please feel free to talk to me afterwards or call our office, the extension office, to learn more about that schedule. So that's what I've got.
Thank you. A couple of observations. What a trooper for sitting through tonight to give the report at the end. So a round of applause for you. Well, I speak for everyone familiar with the county extension. That you packed a lot of information in that brief report, and there's a lot of programs going on. Almost, it seems inadequate to just give it a 5 or 10 minute report at the end of a core report meeting, because there's so much going on. Just the Master Gardeners, what are the numbers? I mean, there must have been
it's over 200
people at the last meeting I went to. I mean, and that's one of their programs. And the Master Gardeners take care of the courthouse grounds here. We appreciate them. They do a lot of work. They a lot of sweat equity, dozens, if not hundreds, of volunteer hours that they have. But so many good programs. We rely on the horticulture folks over there, particularly your arborist is Krista, the arborist as well. So she's helped us quite a bit here, and with liming our lawn behind the judge's office there, that's terrible. We're trying to get some grass growing there. But anyway, their counties are blessed with their extension, and so we thank you for your organization. Thank you for young folks here tonight, all three of you. I'm glad you were recognized. We appreciate you, and good luck to you. Any questions for our agent, county agent, extension agent? All right, thank you for that report.
Judge, may I ask you?
This is great. It's not, and we control that pretty tightly, not because we don't want to hear from Ms. Donna.
I'm not on the agenda, thank you, though, because I just want to say thank you to the sheriff's office. Our storage building out there was about 140 degrees, and so Deputy Kelly got up, he cut a hole in it, he put a porta bird in there, or whatever you call it, on a ladder. He was on a ladder. I want to thank the sheriff's office because they really had help. The sheriff let Deputy Kelly come out with his 309s that he supervises, and he supervised them quite well, and they mowed. And if y'all have been out there, that grass can get this tall in a hurry. They've mowed, they've done a lot of things for us, and I just wanted to tell them, and the sheriff's gone, but I want to tell them thank you. We're alive and well. Our group has done over 1,000 pounds of animal food to different rescues that are really needing it, because the rescues are still in a lot of trouble, you know, and we've done over 1,000 pounds. If you ever want to help on Saturday morning at 7 o'clock, you can meet us at Walmart and load sacks of dog food that have been taped together that they can't sell, but we get dog food, pet food, and all that, so we always thank Walmart. But we have a lot. Last 6 months, we've had about $10,000 donated to Friends of Faulkner County Animal Shelter, and we hope with that money we can have more events. And and the spay and neuter, but Mr. Higgins can talk about that. Good program through the county, and then we're doing a whole lot at Companions. So that we're doing good, but we need you still. So don't forget us when you're handing out that ARP. just remember us.
Thank you.
Judge, I also want to point out that I drove by a couple of weeks ago, and I realized the sheriff's department is helping out at the property, but Judge Dodson was also mowing out there a few weeks ago when I drove by. He was mowing himself.
Don't worry about that. That's what we're here for.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any further announcements or business for the court? the long-awaited request for a motion to adjourn. We're adjourned.